It's important that you know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, because it affects how we live. The statement of our faith together is from the letter to the Romans in the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." You may wonder why the scripture continues with the word sonship rather than adoption to children of God. Sonship in the ancient world meant you were an inheritor. Not all women inherited from the family. The men often did inherit. Sons inherited, and firstborn sons, at least in some places and in some peoples, received the property as a part of their inheritance. So when the Bible says that we are all sons because of what God has done for us, it carries that same meaning. We will inherit what God wants us to inherit. Now the word today is from the letter of 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter. And if you have been listening to the two previous messages, those are also from 1 Peter, and we continue in 1 Peter. This segment from chapter 2, just verses 9 and 10, where the apostle writes, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You and I have received new life. And that new life didn't happen just yesterday. It happens again today. You made a mistake yesterday, even a big one. It doesn't have to happen again. Even if you have a bad habit, you don't have to keep it. Have a bad attitude, you don't have to keep it. No matter what has gone on in your life before, you can be a blessing to others because of the power of Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that you could have a new life. You accept his gift, and your new life begins. You accept his gift, and you can begin your new life again. We have been focusing on what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and the way we are doing that is, I guess you could say, looking at what the apostles sang. Worship is an expression of what we believe. The early church sang their faith as we do. Parts of those songs are in the Word of God. The faith they sang is quoted in the words the apostles wrote, using words like true expression, faithful statement, trustworthy sayings, and they have come down to us in the Word of God. We here at Daleville Christian Church often use these faithful statements as our statements of faith, and when I record the message for the website, I always include the statement of faith, the affirmation of faith for that day, and tell you where it is found in the scriptures. Today's scripture should be familiar to anyone who has listened to these messages, because we've been using these statements of faith since 2011. And so today we have another set of verses from 1 Peter, considered by one author as the finest example of New Testament teaching. Another scholar said this about these verses: there are indications that this document has a rhythmical structure, or this section of the document has a rhythmical structure, as would have been the case with a hymn. Bingo! statements of teaching used in the worship for singing. We have in front of our eyes words probably used in the worship of the first churches, songs the apostles sang. And we too continue to sing what it is we believe. And I love this verse so much that I feel that I've already preached on it, and even if I have preached on it already, I'm fairly sure that today you will hear something new. I love this verse because it's about adoption. Some of you know all about adoption, adopting children formally, legally. Some of you have adopted pets. Either way, you have the firsthand knowledge of some of what an adoption is and what an adoption means. That's important because we declare that our God has adopted us. The Apostle Paul uses that very same language in another letter, which we have already used, you have heard read, from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. We want to talk about God's adoption of us. God adopts any and all who call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. There are aspects of pet adoption and child adoption that are like God's adoption of us, but there are other aspects that are not like our adoption by God. For example, when we adopt someone or a pet, we may have had several reasons why we are adopting. God has only one reason for adopting us. God loves us. We might want a pet for different reasons. They can be cuddly, good companions. But God doesn't want something from us. God wants something for us. God doesn't adopt us for a way for us to work for Him. God wants something for us. He wants us to have the new life, and He wants us to have that new life with Him forever. God wants a better life for us. We might choose a pet because it's cute. God does not choose us that way. About us, the Bible says, we were living in darkness. The letter to Titus says we were disobedient, foolish, and enslaved by bad impulses. But Titus's letter goes on to say, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done. See, it wasn't anything we did to get adopted. If pets or children knew they were being adopted, they might try to be at their best while the potential new family was making up their mind. We were not at our best when the Lord God decided to adopt us. God just wanted to adopt us. No real reason, we would say. No real reason, we could say. No good reason, we could say. It was love, pure love. God wanted for us to be with Him. Now I get the impression that people, even Christians, misunderstand these phrases and words: chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession. You see, we were none of those things before God adopted us. We were none of those things before God adopted us. We were only chosen after we were chosen. We were not a holy nation until God made us a holy nation. And remember, the word nation here means people, not the nation of the United States. We certainly are a special country, but we are not a holy nation. The church is a holy nation. Any church that is a part of the Church of Jesus Christ is a holy nation, but only because God made the church holy. And the last phrase makes this clear: God's special possession. The emphasis is on the possessive word, God's. Until we are God's, we are not special. Until we belong to God, we are not special. Until we belong to God, we're not a special possession. When God adopts us, that is what makes us a special possession. See? We're not special until God makes us special. The only thing that makes us special is God's claim on us. But how so very quickly we turn everything around, begin to think well of ourselves. We say, we're special. No, you're special to God, and it can't be explained. There is no reason for God to love us. God just wants us as his sons. If you get the difference, God imparts the specialness. We did not acquire the specialness. We didn't make ourselves special. God imparted the specialness to us. I hope that you watch the television program on public television entitled Antiques Roadshow. For some of you who do not know this program, people bring in family heirlooms or objects they found or inherited. They're given an official appraisal of their market value. The objects that are brought in, we find out how much money they might bring in the open market. Some people don't even like the object that they brought in, or they like it, but their spouse does not. Like a painting or a piece of pottery, or, you know, grandma had this thing sitting on the fireplace mantle, and the person who brings it in saw it there all their life, and they're kind of attached to it. But how much is it worth in the marketplace? And these people are almost always surprised that it's worth more than they thought. Some even ask for the appraisal price again. They can't believe that they heard it correctly. But that's always true about all of us. My experience is that it's almost always true of Christians, at least the ones I know. We are worth more than we think we are worth. And we're certainly worth more to God than we think, because we don't think like God. God sees us very differently and sees our value in ways we don't even see it. Now, what the Bible is saying is that sometimes it isn't that you are so very valuable, but it's the fact that God says that you are so valuable. On Antiques Roadshow, a very similar thing is true. It isn't that the object is so valuable, but it is because it belonged to someone particular that makes it valuable. Recently, I saw on Antiques Roadshow a military sword from the American Civil War. I usually notice these items on the show. The appraiser mentioned that thousands of these swords were made before and during the American Civil War. That particular sword was based on a model ordered in production in 1858. It had been through the American Civil War. The family member who brought it in knew to whom the sword had belonged. The soldier was a captain in his regiment from Pennsylvania. The appraiser said that these swords, in good condition, usually bring about $750 on the market. However, the appraiser went on to say that because we know who owned that very same sword, it was worth $2,500. Knowing who owned the very same sword changed the value of the sword. The Bible says that is definitely true of us. Until our Lord called us to be his, we weren't worth much. But now that we belong to God, our value has increased tremendously. You see, the sword could not decide to increase its value. There wasn't anything it could do to increase its value. Only because of the sword's owner did the sword increase in value. The owner determined the value of that sort. You are God's special possession, but the emphasis is on God. It's because God claims you that you are special. It's because God adopted you, you are special. Verse 10 says it this way, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God." I had a professor suggest that we might want to translate it this way, "Once we were nobodies, but now we are somebodies because of God." Once we were nobodies, but now we are somebodies because of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We sing, once we were lost, now we are found. God decided to show us mercy. God didn't have to show us mercy, but God did. God took Jesus' sacrifice. Instead of punishing us, God took the sacrifice that God offered, his own son, in order to let us go from the punishment. God did that. And God didn't have to. Once we were nobodies, but now we are somebodies because of God. And that makes new life possible. Again, I return to Antiques Roadshow. When people hear how much their item is worth, not only are they often excited and thrilled, but sometimes they even say that they're going to treat the item differently. How many times have people said about a painting they were not wild about, finding out that it's worth thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars, they say, well, I'm bringing it up out of the basement. Or they say, well, it's not going back into the closet. Because of the value that has been given to the objects will live a different life than they had been living. I saw a common fireplace bellows once on Antiques Roadshow. You know, you use those to keep your fire going in the fireplace or the stove. The appraiser even asked if the family used it. Oh, yes. They said every Christmas there was a fire in the fireplace and they used the bellows to keep the fire going. Well, this bellows was hand-carved by a particular artist. It was valued between $15,000 and $20,000. Now, you may find that hard to believe, but that isn't the point. The point is that that bellows is never going to go near any fireplace ever again. Ever. It's not going near any fire ever again. Ever. This bellows is going to have a new life. You and I can have a new life because the Lord God has chosen to have mercy on us. I want to suggest that when you talk to people about Jesus, you tell them that Jesus wants to help them. Jesus wants to help them. H-E-L-P. Because with Jesus, you get heaven's eternity, love, and power. H-E-L-P. Heaven's eternity, love, and power through Jesus Christ. You may ask people if they want Jesus' help, but you can share that Jesus wants to help them. Heaven's eternity, love, and power all from Jesus Christ. You can tell them that you have been helped by Jesus. You have received Jesus' help. 1 Peter 3:9 puts it this way, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. The Lord intends that you inherit a blessing so that you can be a blessing instead of repaying evil for evil. That was our old life, repaying evil for evil. That was our old life. Now we live a new life. Peter's letter goes on to say in chapter 4, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Peter's letter also says, do not live the rest of your earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And it goes on, right in verse 3, says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. You've already done that. That old life, you lived that already. Let's get on to the new life. You spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, following your own desires. You had an old life, but now you have a new life. 10 times the letter called 1 Peter calls us to live your value, live your new life. Recently, a woman came into my office. We, that is you and I, the Church of Jesus. We were helping her with some utility bills. She was grateful and came into my office to thank me, but I told her, we are not good people, but Jesus makes us do good things. We're not good people, but Jesus makes us do good things. She didn't know what to say. She had never heard that before. But it's true, isn't it? I wasn't saying anything that isn't in the Bible or Peter's letter. We're not good people, but Jesus makes us do good things. The Lord calls me and empowers me to follow Him. So He makes me, He makes us do good things. The Lord calls me and empowers me to follow Him. We've all lived like pagans at one time or another. We were nobodies, but now we belong to God. Our Lord Jesus died to give us this new life so we can live this new life. Amen.